I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of today's gospel. It is found in John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. And as she cried, she bent down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angel asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Arabic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, I wonder, what was going through her mind? How was she feeling? I mean, to watch someone you die is always hard enough. But to see them crucified, to hear them screaming in pain, to witness the taunting crowd, how does one deal with that? Every time you closed your eyes or tried to sleep, whenever the room got too quiet, or maybe even when it got too loud, it would all be right there, forcing you to relive it time and time and time again. So while it had actually been less than 3 days, it must have seemed like an eternity to her. There's no way she could forget. I mean, no way to unsee what she had seen or unhear what she had heard. And yet somewhere in the midst of that nightmare, I can't help but believe there were moments when she must have remembered the good things, the fun things. She must have remembered the way he laughed and the jokes he told. The way that he could take something so simple, so plain and so ordinary, and then turn it into a life lesson that would change the way you looked at the world. It was like that last night in the upper room. They were in the middle of eating, and he got up and he took on the role of a servant. He took a basin of water and wrapped a towel around his waist, and he began washing everyone's feet. It was something that the others had considered beneath them. And yet it was an act that they would never forget. Did she remember that? There was no way she could erase everything that had happened. But she had one last chance to follow his example. One more chance to serve him like he had served her. So when the Sabbath was over, it was safe to set out. Mary Magdalene began the long, lonely walk to Jesus' tomb. She went wanting to anoint his body just like he had washed her feet. And while her pain and her bravery were commendable, while she may have thought everything had finally ended, the truth is there was still one more thing that she would have to learn. One thing that would not only make her faith complete, but would help change the whole world. I mean, have you ever noticed that when God is about ready to do something spectacular, something new, something that's going to change everything, it never seems to happen in the way or the place that we would expect? The long-awaited Messiah was born, but not in a palace surrounded by royalty like one would think, but in a stable surrounded by animals. And when that Messiah grew into a man, he met the evils of the world not as a mighty commander with a mighty army, but with humble service and quiet submission. And then, just when it appeared as though everything was lost, God took what was dead and he formed it into new life. He made a new creation, something that would change the world. And as Mary approached the tomb that morning, she approached it as a person with no hope. And knowing the world that she lived in, that's completely understandable. For in reality, she had no hope left. I mean, up until that morning, dead things, dead ideas, dead hopes, dead people, they just stayed dead. But what she was about to learn was that God had other plans. Plans for that new creation. And it would be a creation where death would never again be allowed to have the final word. In the world that God was creating, there was always hope. Hope. It isn't just wishful thinking. For people of faith, it is a confidence that's born out of knowing that God will fulfill God's promises. Hope is born when we not only know that, we live it into a reality. When we stand with Mary and we peer into the empty tomb, when we see that he's not there, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God can't or won't do. God will always bring chaos, order out of chaos, peace out of discomfort. God will always bring us joy out of sorrow. And, well, hope out of despair. the gifts of God. The gifts that come to those who believe and trust, especially in those moments when it appears that all is lost, that evil is winning. That is the hope of people who believe. You know, one of my favorite heroes is the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu. You can't ever see a picture of Tutu when he isn't smiling and laughing. And if you've ever heard a recording of him or saw him, there was just something about him, a joy that transcended everything. And Tutu was able to do great things. He was the Archbishop, Anglican Bishop of Cape Town, the first black archbishop they had. And it was during apartheid that he was appointed. Tutu, after apartheid, went on and he established the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. It built strongly on Christian principles. It was that commission that brought healing to an entire nation. But one has to wonder, where did the joy come from? Where did his hope come from? During the height of apartheid, his life was threatened on a regular basis. He watched as people were murdered and slaughtered. And during that time, the soldiers would try to intimidate him. They wanted to silence his voice because his voice was one that was heard around the world. But they not only wanted to silence him, they wanted to instill a fear into anyone who sat in the congregation where he preached. They wanted to make sure that everyone remembered who was really in charge. One of their most famous tactics was to enter a church where he was scheduled to preach. And just as he rose to take his place behind the pulpit, they would become coming down all the aisles with their machine guns pointed at him. But in place of backing down, he would flash that famous smile of his. And he would say, "You know, I'm glad you're here today. I bet you your mom is proud." And then he would invite those machine gun pointing, black hating men to join his side. He would say, "You know, we've already won. Join our side." No, he wasn't talking about apartheid. Those who gathered in his churches, they lived with the truth and the terror of that awful thing every single day. What he was talking about was a resurrection hope. Through the resurrection, we've already won. The end of history's already been written. God is going to win. Nothing is going to stop God. Join God's side. There have been and there always will be setbacks, but God's promises, it's already a living reality. The tomb is empty. We have already won. And that morning when Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, she was about ready to learn that time had started over. It started over the moment Jesus defeated death. And nothing, absolutely nothing, would ever separate him from God again. And on that day, just Jesus' victory became ours. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And that, my friends, is where the challenge comes in. That's where Mary learned that there was still one more thing she had to do. She wasn't going to be allowed to merely stand in Jesus' presence. The moment she realized what had happened, when she saw who Jesus really was, do you remember what Jesus told her? He said, "Don't hold on to me, but go to my brothers and my sisters and tell them I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And it says, Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Christians, the good news isn't good news until we go out and spread it. We have to leave here and go out there. We have to tell others what we have seen and what we've heard and what we've experienced. But we have to do more than simply talk about it. We have to be willing to live it into a reality. We have to become the servants. We have to become the foot washers who do whatever to show others the love that God has for them. The love that comes from a resurrected Lord. In other words, we have to be the people of hope. And that's a difficult thing to do in the world we live in. All we have to do is scroll through the feeds on our phones or listen to the nightly news, or simply look around at what's going on in our own towns. And when we do, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to try to convince ourselves that evil is winning, but it isn't winning. You know, I love this quote that Father Ronald Wolfhauser used in his sermon. It actually comes from a man named Jim Wallace, an evangelical who has become a voice, a new voice in the theological world. And Wallace says, quote, "Don't base your hope on the evening news. Base your hope on Jesus and the resurrection, and watch for the evening news to be changed." Christian, Jesus is alive. So what do you say? Why don't we grab some towels, go out there and start changing the world? Jesus is alive. Thanks be to God. And all God's children say, amen.